This is Radio Influence.
Got him in the white trunks. He hurt him.
Beautiful.
Oh, God.
That's beautiful. He's got it.
And he scores the top.
Wow.
And here comes a mention. And it's all over. It's
nice.
All over. First round knockout.
Big
he's out. Rich
one
Franklin
punch
retains his belt.
The one thing that I never thought in a million years would happen, happened.
The champion. The challenger. Here we go.
This is the MMA Report with Jason Floyd on Radio Influence.
The UFC and World Series of Fighting are both going to be holding fight cards on Saturday, and I'm going to preview both of those fight cards here on this week's edition of the MMA Report podcast on Radio Influence, along with previewing UFC Fight Night 107 and World Series of Fighting 35. I'm going to get into some of the latest news and notes going on in MMA, including the free agent status of Ryan Bader, as some news came out on Tuesday of what is going on with Ryan Bader. Also, Cain Velasquez has given an update to when he could possibly return, so we'll get into that. Plus, a fight change has happened for a Bellator title fight that is coming up next month, so we'll get into all that here on this week's edition of the MMA Report podcast. Also, going to have three interviews of three fighters going to be fighting on Saturday night at Valor Fights 41. You're going to hear from Luis Pena, who's going to be the co-main event of the fight card. He's going to be taking on Demir Ferhat-Begovic. Of course, we had Demir on the podcast last week. This week, you get to hear from Luis Pena. Also, we'll bring in Billy Swanson, who is in a UMMAF qualifier here. He's going to take on Kelly Payne. And also, we'll talk to Thomas Woolley, who's going to be defending his Valor amateur title on this fight card. So all those interviews coming up later on in the podcast. But of course, I want to let you know about my sponsor, Fight TV. The Fight app is your wrestling, MMA, and boxing TV. Watch live pay-per-views and free programming on your own schedule. Coming up this week on Fight, you can order Knockout Promotions 54 and Hard Knocks 54. Of course, the Knockout Promotions headlined by Cody Stamann, who I did an interview with recently. And Hard Knocks is going to feature Alexi Argyro, undefeated lightweight. So two up-and-coming prospects to check out there. Both of those events are on Friday. And for my international listeners, World Series of Fighting 35 on Saturday night will be on Fight for $9.99. You can download the Fight app today by going to Fight, FITE.TV/RadioInfluence/. Once again, that is Fight, FITE.TV/RadioInfluence/. And that link is also available on RadioInfluence.com. Hopefully everyone is having a good week, whether you're listening to this podcast on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whenever you're listening to this podcast. Hopefully you're having a good time. Going to preview both UFC Fight Night 107 World Series of Fighting 35 on this fight card, this edition of the podcast, because there will be no preview podcast coming out on Friday. The reason is I'm going to be heading over to Orlando to watch the first and second rounds of the NCAA men's basketball tournament. Of course, if you've been following me for a long time, you know I'm a huge Florida State fan. So going over there to watch the Noles, hopefully get a win on late Thursday night. I was hoping it would have been a little bit of an earlier start than 9:30, but taking on Florida Gulf Coast, and then hopefully check them out on Saturday as long as they get a win there against Florida Gulf Coast. It's been a while since I've gone to a tournament game, so looking forward to heading over there, taking a couple days off from MMA, and enjoy it. I actually got the DVR already set up to tape World Series of Fighting 35, so I can watch that when I get back. And then of course myself and Daniel are going to have a post fight podcast where we're going to talk about UFC Fight Night 107 and World Series of Fighting 35. And I'll be honest, I mean, this is just the true honest about it. I had totally forgot about World Series of Fighting 35 when we had done the post-fight podcast on Sunday evening. And it's a fight card that really it's unfortunate for the World Series of Fighting and the fighters that are on that fight card that really there's just not much media attention on World Series of Fighting, even though they've got a pretty significant fight card coming up on Saturday night in New York State, where they've got three title fights and, of course, headline by the heavyweight title fight. So we'll get into that this weekend. I mean, obviously, you have the UFC World Series of Fighting card, but overall, it's been a pretty quiet week in terms of what's going on there. But on Tuesday, It was reported by Brett Okamoto of ESPN.com that Ryan Bader has received his clearance letter from the UFC. And for if you don't understand what that may mean, is basically it's the UFC saying, Ryan Bader, we're not matching the contract you received. And you are now essentially an unrestricted free agent. And everyone does expect that he's going to end in Bellator. Of course, I'm recording this here on Wednesday morning, March 15th. Bellator this time has not come out and said that they have a signed contract from Ryan Bader, but probably by at some point this week, Bellator will announce Ryan Bader has signed with Bellator, and and everyone is expecting that his first matchup will be against Phil Davis. And I think the interesting part about this whole free agency period for Ryan Bader, I mean, this is another guy that he played his cards out right, fought out his contract, got a win in his last UFC fight, and gets an offer from from Bellator. And to me, which was interesting about it is, you may remember, was it 3-4 weeks ago where Dana White in an interview said, hey, we're not going to match a contract that Ryan Bader gets. And, and then you see the UFC took the full 14 days to decide whether or not they wanted to, match or not to match this deal, which to me tells me the UFC was actively considering matching the contract offer that Ryan Bader received from Bellator. And you look at the 205-pound division in the UFC, it's not a deep division. Ryan Bader was a guy that, do I think Ryan Bader was ever going to find his way into a UFC title shot? No, I do not, because it seemed with Ryan, he would get to that point and he would get to that one fight, but he would never get past that one fight that would ultimately lead him to a title matchup. But it is, I think, if you're a fan of MMA, that you're just a fan of the UFC, yeah, you're disappointed that Ryan Bader's no longer in the UFC. But look, as I've always said, I want to see fighters make the most money they can. And now you look at Bellator, and I think that for a long time in Bellator, the divisions that you looked at that were the faces of Bellator were either 145 or 155. And I think that has started to turn to, 170 and 205 when you look at what they're building there. So a big signing there by Bellator. Of course, as a recording of this podcast, Bellator is not officially announced that Ryan Bader has signed with Bellator, but I would imagine by some point this week that an official announcement will come, and we'll see. I had a tweet when I retweeted Brett Okamoto's tweet on Thursday, had someone respond saying that they felt that the co-main of that Davis and Bader would meet in the co-main event of Bellator 175, which is just 3 weeks away there in the Chicago area. But I don't see that being the case, and the reason is Bellator needs as many main events as they can have as possible. So I would expect that you probably see Davis and Bader probably maybe headline show May or June, somewhere in that line of thinking there with them. But obviously that's a big matchup, and of course we all remember these two guys. When you look at Ryan Bader, and he's as I've mentioned, he's always put himself in that position, but never got that one extra win to get there. But of course, you remember, he does have a win over Phil Davis. That was a split decision win back in early 2015 at UFC on Fox 14. And Bader is on a nice little roll here. He's won 7 of his last 8 fights, but that one loss was against Anthony Johnson. When you look at his losses in the UFC, John Jones, Tito Ortiz, Lyoto Machida, Glover Teixeira, Anthony Rumble Johnson. It'd be interesting to see maybe if I truly do believe that Tito is retired, but it would be interesting to see if with Ryan Bader coming to Bellator, all of a sudden maybe if Tito Ortiz does want to try to get that rematch, or Ryan Bader wants to get that rematch with Tito Ortiz. But that is definitely something to pay attention to in the next couple of days. But a nice addition to the Bellator 205-pound division. But right now, let's get into what's going to go on this weekend, UFC and World Series of Fighting. First of all, let's talk a little bit about the UFC. They are the leader in mixed martial arts, as they're going to be in London on Saturday for UFC Fight Night, Manoa versus Anderson, or UFC Fight Night 107, UFC London, whatever you want to call it. But it's going to kick off on Saturday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time here in the United States. The main card will start at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time. I'll probably watch majority of this fight card via DVR, depending on, you know, what time the NCAA tournament games are on Saturday in Orlando. You know, initially my plan was kind of just, you know, hang out at the pool on Saturday until the game started and, you know, have the iPad out. But it's been a little chilly here in Florida. So and when I say chilly in Florida, for people maybe listening in North, they're like, oh, come on, Jason, that's shorts weather. I mean, we're talking, I think it's going to get in the 40s, you know, lows in the 40s, highs in the 60s. So, you know, here in Florida, that's cold weather, you know, up north, that's shorts weather. But you know, but for the most part, I'll probably watch a majority of this event via DVR. But there are a couple of matchups on this fight card that definitely have me interested. And one of those fights, and I think this could potentially be the fight of the night, I think this is a very under the radar type fight, and it's a welterweight matchup between Leon Edwards and Vicente Luque, fighting at 170 pounds there. And it's a fight that, you know, not many people are going to talk about because it is the third fight that is going to be on the preliminary card. But this is a matchup that really has me interested. And when you look at Leon Edwards, he's won back-to-back fights. He's coming off a win against Albert Tumanov, which we'll have a little update on Albert Tumanov here very shortly. Prior to that, had a win over Dominic Waters. You know, he's won four of his last five fights since losing his UFC debut. The only loss in his last fight was against Kamaru Usman, which, I mean, that's not a bad loss. I mean, Kamaru Usman, one of the best up-and-coming welterweights there in the UFC. And of course, when you look at Vicente Luque coming into the UFC after appearing on The Ultimate Fighter Season 21 as a part of the Black Zillions. Of course, he lost at the finale against Michael Graves, but since then he has won four in a row, all of them by stoppage, three of them in the first round, a submission win against Haider Hassan, a submission win against Alvarado Herrera, then a knockout win against Hector Urbina, and then a knockout of Bilal Muhammad. His last two fights have lasted a combined 2 minutes and 19 seconds. This is a fight that I love on the fight card. I think that most likely is a fight that will stay on the feet, but really looking forward to that matchup. Other matchups that I'm interested in go to the lightweight division, and that's Mark Diakis against Teemu Pakkilin. Of course, Diakis coming into the UFC recently. Really looking forward to seeing his second fight here in the UFC. Also on that preliminary card, a matchup that has me interested, Joe Duffy and Rezzy Madotti. Everyone knows about Joe Duffy and his contract situation, and it'll be interesting to kind of see how that does play out there, as you know, that's actually going to be the featured prelim of UFC Fight Night 107 on Saturday. When it comes to the four fight main card, you know, nice little four fight main card. You know, it's not a main card that's going to get people all giddy, but, you know, a nice, you know, decent fight card. Going to kick off Arnold Allen against Marquan Amirakani at 145 pounds, and you got Brad Pickett in his final fight. He's going to take on Marlon Vera at 135 pounds. Marlon Vera took this fight on 7 days' notice when Henry Bronis was pulled out of the fight card due to an injury. And then your co-main event, which is you know, probably the fight that has me interested the most, and that is Gunnar Nelson against Alan Joabuene at 170 pounds. And of course, this is a matchup that, you know, maybe you could make the argument it should be the main event over Jimmy Manuel Corey Anderson in terms of probably the fight that fans are more interested in. Of course, Gunnar Nelson coming off that win against Albert Tumanov back in May of last year. He is 2-2 in his last four fights. That other win came against Brandon Thatch, the losses against Damian Maia, and that split decision loss against Rick Story. Then when you look at Alan Joabuene, he has won three in a row since losing to Albert Tumanov back at UFC 192. He's got wins over Brandon O'Reilly, Bilal Muhammad, and Mike Perry. Of course, that Perry win came back in December at UFC on Fox 22. You have to favor Gunnar Nelson in this matchup. I mean, you look at Gunnar, you know, obviously he's not being able to get that big wins, but I mean, look, losing to Damian Maia is not necessarily something you're going to, you know, badmouth him on. I mean, he's done a great run, so I do like Gunnar Nelson to win that fight. And of course, Jimmy Manuel and Corey Anderson in the main event. To me, I think this is pretty much a showcase fight for Jimmy Manuel. You know, Dana White had the comments that I played last week about the criticism of this main event, you know, and basically talking to British reporters saying, Jimmy Manuel's your guy. He's your guy. And, you know, he is, you know, currently the number four title challenger there at 205 pounds. And, you know, and as I think I talked about this on the post-fight podcast, you know, there's different layers of 205. You got, you know, the elite, which is Jones, Cormier, and Rumble. Then I think there's a drop-off between Gustafsson and Teixeira. Then there's another drop-off, which pretty much I think you could kind of put everyone else. You know, I think you look at Jimmy Manoa, you look at Misha Cirkunov. I mean, hell, you even have to mention Shogun Hua kind of in there with the run that Shogun has been on. But I do think that this is a showcase fight for Jimmy Manoa. I mean, obviously, he's got to watch out for the takedowns of Corey Anderson. I could see Corey easily, you know, working his way to a not so stellar 25-minute decision here. But I do think that ultimately you do see Jimmy Manoa get a stoppage victory here. I think that if this fight does hit the third and fourth round, I think it does favor Corey Anderson. But if this fight ends in the first or second round, I think that you definitely have to favor Jimmy Manoa. But I do like Jimmy Manoa to win that fight there. So that's UFC Fight Night 107. And then, of course, later on that night, it is going to be World Series of Fighting 35. The main card is going to start on NBCSN at 11 p.m. Eastern time, which I don't quite understand why you're going so late, but that's what they are. When I was setting up my DVR to tape World Series of Fighting 35, I saw that the lead-in programming was the World Curling Championship. So I don't know how exactly that's going to really help out the World Series of Fighting, but you do have three title fights on the main card. You've got the vacant bantamweight title. Of course, Marlon Moraes no longer in the World Series of Fighting. We'll see ultimately where Marlon Moraes ends up. I think everyone does kind of expect to see him in the UFC. Also, you've got the featherweight title as a co-main event, and the main event will be the heavyweight title, Blagoy Ivanov defending the title against Sean Jordan. This is a fight that was supposed to happen last month when this card was initially scheduled, then it got moved back a month, so now it takes place here. You know, Blagoy Ivanov is a guy that, you know, when he exited Bellator, you kind of didn't know what was going to happen with him, but on a nice little run here at the World Series of Fighting. Of course, Sean Jordan made his World Series of Fighting debut last year after having his contract in the UFC expire. And, you know, he got a win in his World Series of Fighting debut back at World Series of Fighting 33 as he defeated Ashley Gooch. And you kind of forget this is a guy who has won four of his last five. And one of those wins is against Derek Lewis back at UFC Fight Night 68 in 2015. And he takes on Blagoy Ivanov, of course. I think, you know, when people think Blagoy Ivanov, I think the two things that people think about with him is, A, having a Sambo win over Fedor Emelianenko, and then also how he was stabbed a couple years ago and the recovery he had for that. Of course, his only loss came back at Bellator 120 against Alexander Volkov, which we'll have some news on Alexander Volkov here later on in this week's podcast. But you know, he's come over to World Series of Fighting and defeated Sabino Rama, then he defeated Derek Maimon, and coming off another successful title defense there against Josh Copeland. I do lean Blagoy Ivanov in this matchup, but it's a matchup that could be fun. It could be a nice little fun matchup between these two guys for the heavyweight title. And then your co-main event is the featherweight title. Lance Palmer going to be defending the title against Andre Harrison. You know, when Harrison got signed by the World Series of Fighting, you kind of felt that, you know, he got a win, he'd probably be put into the title matchup. That did happen here. And this is a fight that I think is going to play out on the feet between him and Lance in Harrison. I think that their wrestling will cancel each other out. I do favor Lance Palmer in this one, but would not be surprised if Andre Harrison does get the win. And then the vacant bantamweight title, Magomedov taking on Freelo. Of course, initially, Timur Valiyev was supposed to be in this matchup, but he had to pull out due to injury, so Freelo steps up on short notice to take on Magomedov. And Donovan Freelo, 6-1. In his career, big opportunity for him here, so we'll see what goes on there. But I do favor Magomedov in this matchup, who is 17-1 in his career. When it comes to the preliminary card, which you can watch on Fight TV or WorldSeriesOfFighting.com, you know, Nurmagomedov Sektor, that's a nice little welterweight matchup. But I mean, pretty much it's a really solid preliminary card they have put on here. Kim Duwadu, Steven Seiler is a fight that probably has me the most interested. Also, you got the return of Phil Hall, so we'll see how well he does. Alejandro Almeida's on this card. So a nice little preliminary card there for World Series of Fighting 35. As I said, I'll have it on DVR. I plan to watch it on Sunday, but you know, nice little World Series of Fighting card. But you know, really, no, there has been no coverage of World Series of Fighting 35, which ultimately is just unfortunate for the Fighters Arena's fight card, because I think Lance Palmer, Andre Harrison, you know, you could make the argument that might be the best fight of the weekend, but plenty of fights to take in this weekend, along with all the regional program, you know, shows that are going on out there. I mentioned about Knockout Promotions 54 and Hard Knocks 54, both of those part of iPay-per-views on Fight TV. If you're looking to check out, I mean, Cody Stamann, I think if he gets a win, he's probably UFC bound. And, you know, watch out for Alexi Argyro. Trains out of Zuma and undefeated lightweight guy that we could see in the UFC in the not too distant future. Also, so now we'll get into some of the news and notes that are going on in MMA. First up, I want to mention Albert Tumanov. Mentioned him a couple of times. So I was talking about the UFC fight card. He has signed with ACB. He is going to make his debut with ACB coming up in May. And, you know, look, ACB is developing a nice little roster. I watched their fight card this past weekend. I watched some of my house, and then I was at the gym. So I was watching it while I was on the treadmill and loved the pacing of that show. Had you know, some upsets on that fight card. Bobby Jenkins loses. Saul Rogers loses. And then, of course, the main event, you know, Luke Barnett getting finished in 21 seconds was a nice little fight card. But ACB doing some great things. And every time I talk to people that know what guys are making, they'll tell you that ACB is paying fighters very well. In terms of the UFC, in terms of some news with them, we'll get into some of the fight bookings that they have announced here very shortly. But they have announced the fight card lineup for the Nashville card, UFC Fight Night Swanson versus Lobov. This is going to be on Saturday, April 22nd, UFC Fight Night 108, as it's going to be a six-fight main card. The co-main event will be Ally Quinta against Diego Sanchez. The opening matchup of the main card will be Jake Ellenberger versus Mike Perry. Also on that main card, you'll have Joe Lozon versus Stevie Ray, John Dotson versus Eddie Wineland, and Ovin St. Preux against Marcos Rogério de Lima. You'll have four fights, all prelims on FS2 that night, as it's going to be featured matchups. It's going to be Talis Ladies against Sam Alvey. Also, you got Dustin Ortiz, Bram Moreno, Scott Holtzman, Michael McBride, and Jessica Pena taking on Danielle Taylor. And you'll have three fights that are going to be a part of the prelims on UFC Fight Pass. That's coming up here on Saturday, April 22nd, so still about a month away or so from that fight card. Of course, that weekend you also have the Bellator card up there at the Mohegan Sun. On that Friday night, I will be doing play-by-play for Battlegrounds MMA here in Tampa, which will be available on pay-per-view. Also, in terms of UFC, Cain Velasquez. We all remember Cain was supposed to fight at the end of last year. That did not happen, and he did give an update on his health situation on his Instagram page and Twitter this week, where he says this, quote, "To all my fans, I know I've been a bit under the radar the last couple months, but I wanted to give you a quick update. As you know, I underwent surgery in early January. That surgery was very successful, and I hope the issue doesn't ever come up again. However, right now I am listening to my body and the advice from my medical team in choosing to take it easy. I'm still staying in shape, but getting back into fighting shape is going to take a bit more time as I can't train the way I know how. I have to be smart about going back and can't rush just to make a fight and then risk another injury. My body needs to be 100%. I can't provide a definitive timeline on when I'll be ready to go, but you'll be the first to know when that time comes. I'm excited to see the latest heavyweight fights, especially those scheduled for UFC 211. I'm confident I'll be facing someone from that group because I belong there, and I want nothing more than to get my belt back. Again, I take my health and longevity of my career very seriously. Just as important as to me is what I deliver to all of you. I read all of your messages and support, and I feel I have the most loyal fans. Because of this, I'm not willing to dishonor your loyalty or the hard-earned money you guys invest to watch me fight. I won't fight unless I can show you what you deserve and paid for. Stay tuned, and thanks again for all the continued support." Signed, Cain Velasquez. And, you know, look, you hear Cain, and, you know, and you know, smart decision on his part to say, "Hey, I'm not going to get in there till I'm absolutely ready to go." And obviously, there's some big matchups coming up there. Obviously, the heavyweight title's on the line. You know, Fabricio Verdum scheduled to be on that card. I think you look at where Overeem's at now. Derek Lewis, Francis Ngannou. There's a lot of matchups, and obviously, Cain being on the sideline probably changes maybe some of those plans of what the UFC wanted to do. But great to hear that, you know, Kane's sitting there going, look, I'm gonna make sure that I'm ready to go, you know, physically and not just going to fight just to fight it. And you got kind of love where at the end of that, where he talks about is he goes, I want to give you the best me and give you what you're paying for. I thought that was tremendous to hear there. So send some healing vibes Kane Velasquez way. Of course, Kane trains in California, which brings me to the next story that I wanted to mention. And this came out on Tuesday as the California State Athletic Commission is going to fine win bonus for fighters who miss weight. Previously, they would just fine you on your show money, 20% of that show money, but now they are going to fine 20% of the win bonus if that fighter goes on to win, and apparently this is going to go in pretty quickly in terms of their regulations there, in terms of contracts that the fighters have to sign with the California State Athletic Commission. And when it comes to, you know, and look, I am not on board with this. I don't think commissions should profit at all when a fighter misses weight. I believe that the opponent should get all of it. And the way the story read on MMAfighting.com is that the commission will split with the fighter 10% and 10% in terms of the show money. But if the fighter does win, all that money would go to the opponent. But ultimately, I think that all the money should go to the opponent, and the commission should not profit from that. But good to see. You know, I'd heard you know, there were some commissions even going higher fines, which I think ultimately, if you want to kind of, you know, stop the fighters missing weight, I think part of it is you got to hurt them in the pocketbook. That's the best way to send the message. You know, I think that the starting line should be 50%. You know, start hurting fighters in their pocketbook, and I think you'll see some things change there. Now, and also speaking of California, that is where Bellator is based, and it was announced on Monday that they have signed Dylan Danis. Of course, everyone knows part of Team McGregor as from the jiu-jitsu side of things, as Dylan Danis has not had a professional fight. So Bellator, I think they're looking, this is a little bit to get the rub off Conor McGregor here. And so we'll see what happens with Dylan Danis. It'll be interesting to kind of see what type of matchups that Bellator does put him in. By the way, speaking of Bellator, they announced on Tuesday that Darian Caldwell is out of the Bellator 177 main event. He was scheduled to challenge Eduardo Dantas for the bantamweight title. Caldwell out due to an undisclosed injury, and stepping up to take on Dantas will be Leandro Higo. Of course, he was the LFA champion, recently signed by Bellator, so he gets a huge opportunity there. Nice little matchup. Also, Bellator announced that fight card, Daniel Vichel versus John Teixeira. When it comes to UFC fight bookings, UFC Fight Night 109, which is going to be on May 28th, Misha Cirkunov is going to take on Volkan Ozdemir. And, of course, Misha Cirkunov just re-signed with the UFC. And you got to imagine a win over Volkan Ozdemir probably puts him in line for one of those top five guys. Maybe it's the winner of Gustafsson and Teixeira, which is going to take place on that May card. And who knows, maybe if Gustafsson or Teixeira does not make it to the event, maybe part of the reason having Cirkunov on this card is that you elevate him up to fight someone in the main event of that fight card. Also, UFC on Fox 24, this is going to be in April. Roy Nelson is going to take on Alexander Volkov. That fight is going to be part of the televised preliminary card. As, you know, Roy Nelson, you know, we'll see what happens here. Obviously, things have not gone his way. And that's a fight I expect to see a Roy Nelson knockout over Alexander Volkov. And probably would be the last time we see Volkov in the UFC, but who knows? Maybe something crazy will happen. UFC 211, Chad Skelly versus Jason Knight has been added to this fight card. And UFC 212, ask and you shall receive. Kelvin Gastelum will fight Anderson Silva. You may remember this past Saturday night after his win over Vitor Belfort, Kelvin Gastelum said he wanted to fight Anderson Silva. I believe the term he used, he wanted to continue his Legends ass-whipping tour, and he is going to get that opportunity. And this is another prime example of why, as a fighter, in your post-fight interview, you take advantage of that opportunity. You sit there and tell us who you want to fight. Don't pull the line of, well, I'll just fight whoever the UFC wants me to fight. No, you call somebody out because, you know what, you know, you're probably, you know, more times than not, you're going to get that fight. Now, you have to be realistic with your call out. I mean, Kevin Lee calling out Khabib Nurmagomedov, highly unlikely that's going to happen. But, you know, I like this matchup. I think that it's kind of old school UFC matchmaking, you know, older guy, maybe close to being in that retirement and taking on a guy up and coming with Kelvin Gastelum. So, you know, nice little matchup making there. UFC 212 shaping up to be a nice little fight card. Of course, was headlined by Jose Aldo defending the, or taking on Max Holloway in a unified featherweight title matchup. You know, so we'll see with that how that one goes up there. But you know, once again, I go back to the line Shel Sonnen said on his podcast. This is probably a couple months ago. He said, and he was talking about why you should be, once one fight ends, the promotion for the next fight starts. And he said, he goes, if you sit there and say, well, I'll just fight whoever the promotion wants to give me, then why should fans care about your career? You know, and I thought it was a really excellent point that Shel Sonnen brought up. So, you know, Kevin Gastelum asking, you shall receive, and he gets the fight that he wanted against Anderson Silva. And of course, we'll see if Vitor Belfort ends up on that card as well. Of course, that is going to be in Rio de Janeiro. Now, before I get into the interview portion of this week's edition of the MMA Report podcast, I want to let you know about a couple podcasts that are out there. You can check out the brand new episode of the MMA Insiders podcast as I talked with Casey Oxendine. You may know Casey from the Valor Hour or as a color commentator from Valor Fights, but also, do you know that Casey is a promoter? Do you also know that he trains fighters? So I brought in Casey. We talked a lot about everything going on in MMA, from weight cutting to drug testing to the UFC matchmaking. Also talked about his promotion, Team MMA Battle, some perceptions versus reality. Talked about his social media interaction with Big John McCarthy about that. So it was had a great conversation with Casey Oxendine. So you can check that out on RadioInfluence.com, iTunes, and Stitcher. Also, I appeared on Brian Edwards' podcast. Now, we've had Brian Edwards here on the podcast, of course. When we want to get the gambling side of MMA, we bring him in, and I had a chance to go on his podcast, talked about the NCAA tournament, also talked about the UFC as Brian. I've known Brian for years, going back to when I worked in terrestrial radio here in Tampa with 620 WDAE. He would come on our afternoon show, and me and Brian, you know, he's a Gator and I'm a Seminole. We always kind of have some good text messages back and forth to each other. But I appeared on his podcast, so you can listen to that. I did retweet it yesterday, so if you go to my timeline on Twitter at Jason_Floyd, you can check out that podcast that I was on. And of course, I mentioned No Preview podcast coming out on Friday this week. Look for a post fight podcast on Monday, as myself and Daniel Galvan will recap UFC Fight Night 107 and World Series of Fighting 35, both those fight cards taking place this weekend. So we'll have a post-fight podcast on Monday, but No Preview podcast coming up on Friday, as I'll be over in Orlando enjoying the NCAA tournament. Starts this week. Obviously, it's a it's always a fun week. It's one of my favorite weeks of the year. You know, this week with the start of the tournament, you know, Thursday and Friday, you know, as me being a business owner, I sit in my office with the TV on and just going game to game to game. I always love this time of year, as you know, I love college basketball, and you know, being a Florida State fan, finally back into the tournament, so looking forward to that. So that's coming up this weekend. And but right now, I do want to get into the interview portion of the show. All the interviews this week here on the podcast are Flyers will be fighting on Saturday at Valor Fights 41. And first up, I'm going to let you hear from Luis Pena. He's going to be in the co-main event of this fight card. So I had a chance to catch up with him recently and talk to him about his matchup coming up on Saturday night. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man that's going to be stepping into the Valor cage, coming with Valor Fights 41, March the 18th, as he's going to take on Demir Ferhat Begovic. It is Luis Pena, who is 2-0 in his MMA career, coming off a win back at Shamrock FC 279, a submission win, and both of his wins have come via finish. Luis, I appreciate the time. You know, obviously, you've been involved in martial arts for some time now, but ultimately, how did you get your start in martial arts?
You know, that's a great question. I actually, I've wrestled for about 8 years going into, my MMA career. And MMA was always something, in the back of my mind as a wrestler. I thought, you know, maybe I might get into this. But one day it was, in between me quitting college and college wrestling and joining MMA, I took about a 6-month sabbatical from actually competing or doing any type of training in between those times. And ironically, one of my old, probably my biggest high school rival back in my wrestling days hit me up one day and was like, dude, there's a gym literally walking distance from where you live. You're one of the best competitors I know. You should be getting into it. And so one day I came in, one of the fighters was actually getting prepared to fight a wrestler, and they asked me to come in and, you know, like help him out, and it's been history ever since.
And, you know, made your MMA debut in September of last year, then you come back in December, now another fight here. Is this kind of pretty much the way you plan out your career? Is about every, you know, 3 months or so you're trying to get a fight?
I'm trying to fight as much as possible as long as I am prepared for, as you know, as long as I'm ready for my opponent and healthy and can train. I mean, I'd fight back to back if I could. You know, I love the sport. I love getting in there. I love mixing it up. It's something about fighting.
And you had a win against Chris Petty, which you guys fought as amateurs. You beat him as a pro, and then coming off that submission win back in December. Now taking on Demir Farhadbegovic, you're both undefeated fighters here. You know, in terms of Demir and some of the things that really stick out to you about his game, and you know are going to be challenges for you. What do you see?
You know, it's an interesting fight because of the video I've seen of Demir, he looks kind of like, I wouldn't say he reminds me of me. I feel like I have a very distinct style, but I feel like he reminds me of myself in the sense of, like, he doesn't look like he's the kind of guy that's uncomfortable wherever the fight takes place. Like, he looks like he's the kind of guy that can finish you on the ground, can finish you on the feet, and looks pretty, you know, even everywhere. So I think that's just the overall matchup, you know what I'm saying? Going in there with someone that I know is going to be game everywhere. Like, I know in my last couple of fights, I knew the game plan was to keep it standing. Like, I knew I was just the superior striker in both my debut and my second professional MMA fight. The whole game plan was to keep it standing. If they get to my legs, so be it. We'll get them off and just continue to, you know, beat him up on the feet. But this one, I'm kind of like, wherever the fight takes place, that's where Demir and I are just going to test each other and see who's the better.
In terms of saying that you have a distinct style, why do you believe you have that kind of style?
It harkens back to my old wrestling days. I had a really distinct style in wrestling, and it's just, I'm the kind of guy that, like, I want to win. And I want to take, like, I take the path of least resistance. You know, I want to find the easiest way to take someone out for me physically. So it's like, I don't know, I feel like that has put together a pretty distinct style, especially just the way I approach things. Like, I'm very, I don't, like, if something doesn't have a use for me, I don't use it, but I take techniques and I take ideas from just about any fighting style you could think of, from like taekwondo to Muay Thai, wrestling, jiu-jitsu, sambo, all that kind of stuff.
In terms of the approach to the fight game, how has the approach changed to the fight game now as to maybe even say 6 months ago?
Now I'm a lot more serious, you know, it's different now that I'm a professional versus when I was an amateur or just wrestling. Like, now it feels like every fight means something. Every fight, you know, stays on my record forever. I'm making money now with all these fights. Like, I'm actually using my physical skills to put food in my mouth. So it's made me refocus. Like, ever since I've gone pro, I haven't had that day where I felt burnt out on the sport anymore. It's such a refocusing on my mental on the mental approach to things. I feel like this is what I was meant to do, was be a pro fighter, you know.
During your amateur career, did you ever feel burnt out?
Oh yeah, I mean, I had a 2 year long amateur career, and at one point during that stretch, I had like 20 fights if you combine my boxing, kickboxing, and MMA fight record. Like, I had 20 plus fights in a 12 month period. And I mean, when you're competing that much, you're training as hard as we do at St. Charles MMA that for that long, you do kind of get that sense of like burnt outness, especially like you're training, you're doing all this fighting, you're sacrificing your body. But at the end of the day, you're not really taking anything home with you. You know, you're not getting a paycheck. So it's just it's different. It's just been different. I like it a lot being a pro.
And this is going to be your Valor debut here. You fought in Fight Hard as a pro and Shamrock. Going out of state here to Tennessee. Do you kind of like that mentality of going out of state and being the guy that you really have no pressure in terms of that hometown type audience?
Yeah, I do enjoy it, actually. It's funny you bring that up because I'm actually from Arkansas. I started my fighting career in Arkansas. I was an Arkansas state champion wrestler and everything. And I've only fought in Arkansas twice. I haven't fought there since my second amateur fight, you know. So, like, I'm almost always the dude that's being rooted against until, like, I made it here to St. Louis and started fighting here and gaining my following here. I was almost always that dude that was the out-of-town guy or that no one knew about. So it's nothing new to me traveling to where he's from and doing this. I actually like it more because I traveled so much throughout my amateur career that I have a pretty decent following no matter where I go throughout the South, you know? So it's nice to be able to travel to a area I haven't been, closer to the East Coast, and start to build up a following there.
Is any of your personal goals to have a fight in Arkansas?
Oh yeah, that's one of my personal goals before, you know, heading to any of the big shows or really start looking at making a run with my career is to at least get one fight down in Arkansas. I feel like I feel like just the amount of hype that would be around it, I think it would be a very lucrative opportunity for me and whatever promotion decided to pick it up.
And now with this fight against Demir, do you see the victory coming a certain way?
You know, that's an interesting question. With Demir being as good as he is and with me being as good as I am, I really don't. But just the analytical side that I take to MMA, I kind of see myself like catching. If I were to beat him, if I were to finish him, I feel like I see myself catching him in a submission as he goes for a takedown in the later rounds. I think that's where I beat him. I think my jiu-jitsu is just, lately my jiu-jitsu has been on another level, and I think that's where where the fight's going to really take, or where we're really going to see who's the better fighter.
Why has your jiu-jitsu gone to another level? Is it just the work?
I don't know. It's really hard to say. The gym that I belong to, we have a very long-standing tradition for going from white belt to blue belt. It's a very, very, it's a really big deal. Like, there's a whole test. All the black belts come in. And they make it a really big thing. And I actually got my blue belt this past year in 2016. And I don't know. Ever since then, I just feel like I've been working a lot more in the gi. A couple weeks ago, I had I did the expert no gi in the Fuji State, in the Fuji Missouri State Championships. Ended up beating a brown belt that had tapped me out in like a minute and 30 in November. So I just feel like the work I've been putting in has been helping me like level my jiu-jitsu up more than any aspect of my game so far right now.
Have you set a time goal when you'd like to become a black belt?
No, not at all. Like the thing, that's what I love about jiu-jitsu, you know, is it's not something that like I'm looking at. Like with wrestling, I had a time, like, you know, you only have so much time to be a national champion, to be a state champion. There's only so much time you have to accomplish those goals. That's the great thing about jiu-jitsu. I have my entire life to become a black belt, to become a black belt world champion, to obtain all those goals. So it's not like something I've set. It's just something I'm working towards.
And you're going to be able to see Luis fight here coming up March 18th. Valor Fights 41. He's going to take on Demir Forhatbegovic. Both guys undefeated, so someone's O has got to go. Of course, this event, if you're not in the Tennessee area, you can watch it on flowcombat.com. Luis, final thing, anywhere where my listeners can follow you out on social media?
Yes, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at youngmetro_501. And I have a Facebook fighter page, Luis the Beast Pena. And then you can add me on Facebook on my personal page, Luis Antonio Pena. Pretty much add or follow anybody back that follows me. Post a lot of funny stuff, I think. Yeah. I tried to, at least.
Luis, I appreciate the time, and good luck here at Valor Fights 41.
No problem. Thank you. I appreciate you guys giving me a chance to have a platform to kind of tell my story.
And there you have my conversation with Luis Pena. I appreciate him coming on the podcast, talk about his fight coming up on Saturday night as he takes on Demir Ferhatbegovic in the co-main event of Valor Fights 41. Of course, this event you can watch on flowcombat.com coming up on Saturday night as a part of the pro version of this fight card. Also, this event on the amateur side of it, first up, our next guest is going to be looking to qualify for the UMMAF qualifier. Billy Swanson going to be taking on Kelly Payne. Of course, we've had Billy on the podcast in the past. I had a chance to catch up with him recently and talk to him about his matchup coming up on Saturday night at Valor Fights 41. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man that's going to be stepping into the cage, Valor Fights 41, coming up on March the 18th in Tennessee. He takes on Kelly Payne in a UMMAF qualifier, Billy Swanson. Of course, we had Billy on before his fight against Justin Gooden. Got a TKO victory there over Justin there. Apex Fights 13 was his third straight win in a row. Billy, first off, how do you assess your performance in that fight?
I mean, I did good. There were some good things that came from the fight, but I've gotten better at my striking, but I kind of went for, you know, the home run right out the gate, and I probably shouldn't do that. I got to set it up better. I mean, like you said, there's always room for improvement, win or loss.
And any reason why you think you went for that home run so quick?
Because it was there. I mean, his hand was down. I felt like the kick was there. And actually, I kicked over his head. I was that, like, overzealous for it.
But, of course, you did get the victory there. So it was your third win in a row. So obviously you got to be excited about that. And I know there's always, you know, tweaks you're making inside your training from going from one fight to another. For this fight, have you made any major tweaks?
No, not really. I mean, the game plan's always the same, you know. I'd like to strike, but I mean, if they make the grappling easy, then I mean, I'm gonna take them down. I'm gonna finish it on the ground.
And on that night at Apex Fights 13, your opponent Kelly Payne was also on that fight card. He got a win over Tim Johnson in 61 seconds. Did you have any run-ins with Kelly, or do you remember watching that fight live?
I didn't actually watch the fight live. I was downstairs, you know, getting my mind right. But, I've trained with Kelly before. Kelly's a good guy. I just don't see him being on my level. Not to say that he won't have a lot of success, you know, in the future. I just don't think he has the skill set to beat me.
And I saw you had a quote in another interview where I think it could be perceived in different ways, but I guess the way I perceive it is in the quote was that you call Kelly one of the least skilled fighters that you have fought, and I guess, you know, that could be bulletin board material for Kelly as he prepares his fight, but I take that more as it's more of saying, you know what, the guys I've already fought, I just think their skill level is at a higher level.
Well, I mean, if you look at from my very first fight, I fought Michael Snapp. He had had, like, I want to say, like, 12 to 15 fights, had the Valor belt before, outweighed me by 40 pounds. He was a good guy. Then I came my next fight and was supposed to fight Brian Meeks, but he ended up pulling. He had been a guy who had knocked out good guys locally. And then I fought Denzel, lost to Denzel. Fought Ben Roland when everybody said I was going to lose that one and won that one. Stepped in on 3 days, fought Sam McAlpin, beat him. And then I just started the year off with a first-round TKO finish on Justin Gooden, who's the number one guy from Kentucky. So, I mean, it's not that I'm saying, you know, Kelly's garbage. But, he's just, in my opinion, I would say that he's not better than Denzel. I'd say he's not better than Ben. And, I mean, I'd stretch it to say he's not as good as Justin Gooden either. And, I mean, I like I said, I just don't know. I would have thought he'd have, you know, had another tough opponent or had a tough opponent before he chose to, you know, step up and fight me. But, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, March 18th, we'll see if he's ready.
You mentioned about training with him in the past. Is there at all a part of you that thinks about those training sessions and what you can expect from him?
I mean, not really, because, I mean, no one, unless you're just being the guy who's the tryhard in the gym, no one's in the gym to try and knock each other out. But, I mean, you do have those hard sparring rounds. But, I mean, Kelly's a really good brawler. He's good at getting somebody cornered and landing that heavy right hand of him. But with my movement, if he's within punching range, he's within my wrestling range. So, I mean, if he's really gearing down to throw everything he's got in a right hand, that's going to make my double leg just that much sweeter. And, I mean, the same thing with Justin Gooden. Justin Gooden came barreling in, and, I mean, it just made the takedown easy. And, I mean, like I said, I've been really focusing on my striking and working on it, but, I mean, if the grappling is there, I'm not going to deny it. That's like telling a BJ Penn, hey, you better keep it on your feet. Like, I mean, not saying I'm on BJ's level yet, but, I mean, that's the concept of it. And, I mean, everybody tries to say I'm one-dimensional, I'll take them down and just, you know, ground a pound, but, I mean, at the same time, no one's been able to stop it.
Does it bother you at all if people call you one-dimensional?
No, because anybody who really trains with me on a regular, they know I'm not one-dimensional. Like, I mean, when I spar, I don't even really attempt to take down it because I know I'm good at wrestling. I know I've got ground game. When we're sparring, I'm in there to get better at my striking. And, I mean, people can say what they want, but even when I lost to Denzel, I wasn't out. I mean, he won. It was, you know, the ref stopped it. I'm not taking that away from him. I'm not saying, you know, I felt it shouldn't have been stopped. But, I mean, I've not been out cold. So, I mean, you might hit me once, but you better follow it up. Otherwise, I'm going to recover, and I'm coming after you.
And, you know, with this being a qualifier for the UMAAF, have you at all started to kind of look at the rest of the guys that are trying to get into this?
No, I'm not. I've got to make it there first. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm not really geared in to see, you know, who else is in the bracket. I don't know. I'm not big at buying into that. Like, I'd like to, you know who it is, know what their skill set is. But, like, a lot of people overdo the film and all that. They over worry about what that guy's good at throwing. I like to just see a tendency or two. But, I mean, the real thing is I'm coming to put my game plan to work. I can worry about what Kelly Payne's going to do all day long, but if I don't come to execute what I plan on doing, then I won't get the win.
And, you know, in terms of, you know, guys always talk about, you know, maybe there's something you want to prove to yourself in a fight. Is there anything you want to prove to yourself in this fight? Is it more about just showing that, you know, you're evolving as a fighter?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to, you know, like I said, show that. I mean, everybody says all I do is wrestle, but if you go back and you watch the Ben Rowland match, I mean, there were different instances where I was winning the striking battle. And all I'm supposed to be able to know how to do is wrestle. And, I mean, that was almost – I mean, it's going on a year ago. I mean, it was like 9 months ago when I fought Ben. And, I mean, I don't know. I would – not to say, you know, I have, like, you know, something big to gain from beating Kelly Payne. But, I mean, like you said, it's a national qualifier. I've got to get the win to get to May. And, I mean, I just like to go out there and give my fans another good show. I'm out there to finish a fight. I'm not out there to, you know, I don't want every fight to go to decision. If it goes to decision, I'd like to get the win. But, I mean, I'm out there to finish the fight.
Is there a part of you that, in a way, you don't even want to show off your striking because then it becomes a big unknown to opponents in the future of not knowing what you can do on the feet?
Yeah, and I mean that's another thing. It's like, I mean, if I start really showcasing it, see, it's good because I can pop in there and from that here and there surprise people and land good shots and then take them down and they don't know what I can do on my feet. So, I mean, yes and no. I mean, another thing is, I mean, let's get real. Everybody wants to see a heavyweight who can throw head kicks. So I like to give people a show.
But how do you balance that line, though, of wanting to put on a show, but also making sure that you're putting yourself in the best position to succeed?
Well, I mean, I guess if you really look at it, like, I come in with the intention of getting the win. If I can show out a little bit, I'll show out a little bit. But at the end of the day, if I can submit you in 30 seconds, I'm going to submit you in 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a win. I mean, that's a finish to a fight. Like I said, you know, I would like to showcase striking more in some of my fights, but if you can't stop me from taking you down, then it's dumb for me to give you the 50-50 chance. And, I mean, that's what striking is. It's a 50-50 chance on timing and precision. So, I mean, if I take you down and you're not able to stop the takedown and you're not able to get me off top of you, that's more of a 75-25. And I'm winning the round. So, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I'd like to showcase my striking a lot more, but if you can't stop my takedowns, then that's your problem.
And, of course, this fight is coming up here. Valor Fights 41, March the 18th. Of course, you can watch this event on flowcombat.com. Let's see Billy take on Kelly Payne. Billy, I appreciate the time, and good luck here on March 18th at Valor Fights 41.
All right, thank you, buddy.
And I appreciate Billy Swanson coming on the podcast, talking about his fight coming up on Saturday night at Valor Fights 41. Good luck to him in his matchup as he looks to qualify for that tournament. Now, our final guest on the podcast is going to be defending his amateur title here at Valor Fights 41, Thomas Woolley. He's going to be taking on Preston Schnick. Had a chance to catch up with Thomas and talk to him about his matchup on Saturday at Valor Fights 41. Joining us now here on the MMA Report is a man that's going to be defending the Valor Fights amateur featherweight title coming up here, Valor Fights 41, on Saturday night, March the 18th in Tennessee. If you're not in the Tennessee area, you can watch this event on flowcombat.com. It is Thomas Woolley. He's going to be taking on Preston Schnick. Thomas, I appreciate the time. You got that title win back there at Valor Fights 38. You've won back-to-back fights and four of your five amateur fights. So how has the way you looked at the fight game changed now as opposed to when you were first starting your amateur career?
I'll say one thing that especially what led to my success was organized training. I kind of, when I first started, it was good training, but there wasn't really any organization around it. And one of my main, like my strength and conditioning coach and one of my main training partners, Brandon Garner, really, we put it together. We follow Joel Jameson's camp and how he sets up everything. Everything's organized from Sunday. We know what we're doing Thursday. Everything is very precise. Our times are very precise. We're not just going in the gym and just hitting pads. Everything we're doing is, you know, kind of is a system that we've worked on, and it's been working for us so far. The results have been wins, so we're sticking with it.
Is it one of those things that just for, you know, like for me, I know for me, I like to organize my schedule. Like, hey, I'm going to do this here, this right. here, this here. Even in just your regular life, have you found yourself that is ultimately has been the key to success? Is just, hey, if I'm not organized, I'm not putting myself in the best position to succeed.
Yeah, absolutely. Because if you're unorganized, you're wasting time. Once you're organized, you know, everything is more efficient. Like, so our time in the gym's efficient. My time outside the gym's efficient. So everything, you know, it all comes together. So us planning everything out like this is where I know for a fact I trained everything. I know for a fact we touched on every field of the sport. So being organized is, I think, one of the biggest reasons, too. It's something as simple as that, but is one of the biggest reasons for my success.
Looking at your amateur run at this point, looking at your topology page, it has a pair of lightweight fights, a pair of featherweight fights. Of course, obviously, you won the featherweight title there last year. Do you see yourself long term as a featherweight or as a lightweight?
I see it mostly as a featherweight. I kind of really tuned in the diet. I can also fight lightweight. I would always go back to fight lightweight, especially in my amateur career right now. It wouldn't be a problem to go back. But right now I'm focusing on the featherweight division, especially since I hold the belt.
What do you remember about the night the most you won the title?
Oh, man, just everyone. It was like a fairy tale. Because it was everyone, you know, everyone had the other guy winning the fight. It was, you know, I had no chance. I think Tapology had me winning the fight 20%, like a chance of 20% winning. And all my family and friends were there, all from Georgia. And I also had, like, family come from that also was already living in Nashville. I had a brother fly out from Texas. Like, it was like a fairy tale, man. It was just like everything. Everyone that was supposed to be there was there, and everything that was supposed to happen happened.
It is when you see that, you know, people look at you as, hey, man, this guy's not going to win the fight. Is that motivation?
Absolutely. I love ruining people's predictions, especially when it's against me.
You know, do you try to not to pay attention at all to what other people are saying? Or do you want to know what people think about you?
It really doesn't matter. It's not something like I search for, but it's definitely, you know, when it comes, I'm not looking at every, you know, report or everything that says, you know, let's see if I'm going to win or not. But when it does come up, there's definitely a little fuel to my fire. It definitely makes me, you know, a little motivated. It wouldn't change anything. It kind of, you know, in the end, I'm going to go out there and we're going to fight. So it's going to happen either way, but it doesn't really bother me in any way.
I was talking to a fighter recently, and they had told me, they said, you know, they find it weird when they get a friend request on Facebook from their opponent. It's like, you know, hey, I mean, I'm fighting you in a couple of weeks. But at all, do you maybe try to search their social media channels just to maybe see if you maybe can get a glimpse into what they might be trying to do against you?
Yeah, I never really do, like, social media. I've never looked at, like, I never go to get, like, Facebook or anything. But, I mean, before fighting, I basically learned it from football. It was like when you had a team you're about to play against, you know, you watch film. You studied game film. You broke people down. That's what Brandon Garner does for me is, you know, we'll go on Flow Combat. We'll watch past fights. We'll see what the guy likes. And, you know, it's just, once again, it's kind of another thing going back to being organized. It's just organized training and organized preparation.
What position did you play in football?
I was bigger back in the day, man. I was a fullback. I used to walk around at like 195.
Man, fullback is a position that's pretty much out of football. I mean, it's almost becoming an extinct position at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree.
My buddy's is a head coach, and we were having that conversation. He's like, yeah, man. He goes, it's hard to find fullbacks. He goes, first off, it's not a glorious position that guys just say, hey, I want to play fullback. But in today's NFL, it's just crazy. And I've had the opportunity to talk to a lot of guys who, you know, have played football, whatever level it may be, and they talk about, you know, the traits that help them, you know, take themselves to, you know, that translate over to the MMA, you know, ring or cage. For you,
right,
what do you see as the biggest strength that you brought from the football field into MMA?
More of the mental aspect. I never had the heart for football like I do for fighting. It was always something I did my whole life, but I never had the love for it like I did. So when I transferred into MMA, I just fell in love with the sport day one. I knew it was what I wanted to do. I loved it so much, but I'm definitely thankful for football because I definitely came from a hard team where we practiced year round. It was football in Georgia is very serious. They take it, you know, sometimes you think you're in the pros, how much preparation you do. So I kind of took that side of it and kind of, you know, when training gets hard and training's rough, you know, it's kind of like, it's just another day for me.
I live in Florida, so I know exactly what you mean. You know, it's
football
is life, pretty much. I think that's about the best way to describe it there. But you mentioned about how you instantly fell in love with the sport. What ultimately drew you to try to become an MMA fighter?
It was just kind of, I tried boxing. I started with boxing at a gym in high school. So when I wasn't playing football, I had like a little window to do whatever I want, mm-hmm. as you know, is because, like I said, you're always training year-round, and I've really enjoyed boxing. And then I started with one of my first coaches, Jimmy Long, and he was a jiu-jitsu coach. And I started loving jiu-jitsu, and then I started doing stand-up, and it just – I just loved how the art of – like, it's there's a beautiful art in mixed martial arts, and I just enjoyed it. And, you know, a lot of people see it as, you know, it's brutal and violent, but it's just like a beautiful sport to me. I just enjoy – every aspect of it. I enjoy the training. I enjoy, you know, having to sink in your nutrition. I enjoy the mental part of it. I just love everything about it.
I guess you're kind of the newer school fighter where your discipline's in everything. You know, you didn't come from a wrestling background, you know, and I know a lot of guys say that the wrestling is the best way, but do you kind of feel in today's MMA that, I guess Roy McDonald's kind of the perfect example of this, a guy that really didn't have one base and he just basically was learning everything at the same time. Is that the best way you would describe yourself?
I would agree with that. I think that especially all the fighters you're seeing now, that's the kind of a new generation of fighters is, you know, we're not having boxers becoming MMA fighters or wrestlers becoming MMA fighters, even though it's still happening, but you're seeing more of a majority of, you know, the MMA being the base, and there's so many parts of the sport, you know, for someone to start off and truly train all those aspects is really what you're seeing with these. I mean, you watch fights from back in the day and watch fights now, and you can see a difference how, you know, people are just, you know, even evolved, how the sport has evolved and how fighters have evolved.
We've been talking for almost 10 minutes here. We really haven't talked about your opponent much, Preston here. He's undefeated in his career. He's fought in Valor and Apex fights, but your two paths have never crossed on the same fight card. So, you know, when Tim Lloyd gives you the call and says, hey, this is what we want to do for your next fight, were you at all aware of who Preston was?
I wasn't. I've never honestly known who I've fought. It's just kind of, Tim's the boss. He kind of gave me the call and be like, hey, this is the guy you're fighting. So I'd be like, all right, let's do it. I've never kind of picked and choose who I fought. But it was weird, though, that, like I said, my buddy Brandon, who kind of looks over my camp and does all my training, he actually said that he has saw him fight before. And he even told me, he's like, I think you'll end up probably fighting him one day. And I kind of, you know, was like, okay. But it actually ended up. So, and Preston looks very impressive. I'm excited to get in there with him. He looks very good. He comes from a great gym, comes from his coaches, Casey Oxidine, who does a lot for Valor. So, I mean, I'm excited just to get in there.
When you and your coaches first, or even now as this fight is approaching here as we're talking, we're 10 days out from the fight, is there one thing that jumps out to you about him? Is it, you know, the striking aspect, grappling aspect? I mean, what really jumps out to you and say, you know what, man, this guy does this really well?
Yeah, he's got good length. He's got good punches, and then I see where he's, you know, I think he's good all around. But at the same time, though, I don't think he's fought anyone like me. I think he's not taking really much away from him, but I just think, like, I'm going to be something he hasn't seen before. He's one of those fighters, I think, that you would say earlier, kind of like me, how we didn't really come from a different base. I think we're both just MMA fighters, and I'm excited to test myself against him.
Mentioning about you believe he hasn't fought anyone like you, do you believe you have fought anyone similar to what he offers?
Kind of goes, I guess, both ways. I don't think I haven't even fought someone like Preston. He's a kind of tall, lanky guy. I haven't fought a body type like that. That's something we've been training for. I train alongside some monsters, Kobe Wall, who's also fighting on the card with me. And Jason Wolf, who kind of have, you know, similar body types to him. So I've been kind of spoiled in that aspect, having guys kind of mimic, try to look like him, fight long fighters. So I kind of, in a way, haven't fought someone like him before in a fight, but I definitely have been training with guys like him, you know.
You mentioned about, you know, being on a fight card where, you know, you mentioned Kobe Wall being on this fight card as well. What do you see as the biggest advantage of having your teammates on the same fight card as yourself?
Just kind of all on the same mission. When you're all in camp together, there's just an energy. There's something I've had, most of my fights where it's just me on the card, where I haven't had a teammate or anyone else. So it's been, you know, you're training by yourself, you're dieting by yourself, you're kind of suffering by yourself. But when you have a team together, you know, even though this is an individual sport, it takes many people to get you ready once you step in that cage. So, you know, me and Kobe kind of grinding with each other and just kind of, you know, suffering day to day and pushing each other. And we also have a bunch of fighters that are fighting the next week after us. It's kind of, you just feel, it really boosts my confidence just seeing all of us kind of grow together.
And, you know, you're coming in from Georgia. You mentioned that earlier, coming into Tennessee. Do you like kind of being that that out-of-towner coming into a fight car where, I mean, you know that majority of the crowd is going to be against you? Do you kind of like that environment?
I do. It kind of lets you play the role of the bad guy. kind of like, you know, no one really knows. And I just realized that I'm fighting Preston in his hometown, so I'm definitely – not going to be liked, but in a way I kind of like that. I don't know.
Is it one of those things you just like, it's like, hey man, this is my chance to win them over.
Exactly. Well, yeah, that too. It could be, and you know, I'm trying to get my name out there. So I fought a couple times now for Valor. So hopefully someone's trying to remember me, but there'll be there people there for Preston since that's his hometown, but that's kind of exciting for me as well.
You know, I haven't seen a nickname on you online. Do you have a fighter nickname?
I don't, man. They always told you to never give yourself your nickname. Someone's got to give it to you. Now, last time when I fought for the belt, I don't know where it came from, but one of the announcers, actually alongside Casey Oxendine, that was calling my fight, someone called me the technician. Now, I don't know if that was going to stick or not. I was just going to kind of, you know, see where that goes, but I haven't officially given myself a name yet, but we're just waiting for someone to stick or someone to give me one.
And, of course, you got this fight coming up here March 18th. You're looking for another amateur victory. And final thing, and I really appreciate the time, any thoughts on when you may look to turn pro?
Man, I'm just really kind of enjoying the road. I don't have, like, a set date. I just really want to test myself a lot of different styles. I want to know that I could fight every different kind of person. In my amateur career, even though I didn't pick who I fight, I want to fight someone that's, you know, different every time. And once I feel comfortable and I feel like I'm ready and I'm battle tested, I'll definitely try to turn pro.
Anywhere fans can follow you out on social media?
Yeah, you can follow me on Facebook. Basically, it's all my same everywhere, Facebook and Instagram. And Snapchat is just Thomas Woolley. Pretty easy to find. No nicknames, no anything like that. So just Thomas Woolley, ThomasWooley.
Thomas, I really appreciate time, and good luck at Valor Fights 41.
Oh, thank you for having me, sir.
And that was my conversation with Thomas Woolley. I appreciate him coming on the podcast, talk about his fight coming up on Saturday night, Valor Fights 41. Of course, that's an event that you can watch on flowcombat.com. And speaking of Valor Fights, be sure to check out their podcast here on Radio Influence called The Valor Hour with Tim Loy and Casey Oxendine. Of course, their new podcast is going to come out on Thursday of this week, as I'm sure a lot of it's going to be about what's going on down on Saturday night in Tennessee for Valor Fights 41. And they bring a lot of great insight into some of the fighters that are going to be on that fight card, including last week on their podcast where they talked about Chris Wright, who they had on, is going to be the main event of that fight card. He is actually the guy that essentially got Gerald Merchart into Valor Fights. And of course, we all know Gerald Merchart now in the UFC and off to a great start in the UFC. Of course, Chris Wright taking on Dylan Kala in the main event of that fight card. Of course, we had Dylan here on the podcast recently. So good luck to all the guys for competing on Saturday night at Valor Fights 41. Of course, also on Saturday, you have UFC Fight Night 107 and World Series of Fighting 35. So hopefully it's a great weekend of MMA. Of course, I'm going to be back on Monday to recap everything that went down at UFC Fight Night 107 and World Series of Fighting 35. And I'm sure we'll mention some of the stuff that happens at Valor Fights as well. So I want to thank Louis Pena, Billy Swanson, and Thomas Woolley, all coming on this week's edition of the MMA Report podcast. Of course, it's a podcast you can always check out on RadioInfluence.com, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. Also, be sure to check out my other podcast, the MMA Insiders podcast. Of course, this week, my guest was Casey Oxendine, and the next episode of the podcast, which will probably come out probably late next week, is going to be with Jeff Cruchel. Now, Jeff does a show on Radio Influence. He's worked with Major League Baseball, worked for various clubs in terms of, and knows a lot about anti-doping. And so going to bring in Jeff to talk about anti-doping and relate it to what is going on in MMA, talk about supplements and a lot of various aspects when it comes to the anti-doping. Of course, we recently had Dave Marsden on to kind of talk about the policy that the UFC has with USADA. But the episode with Jeff Cruchel is going to be more about the anti-doping part of it in terms of, you know, all the things that have gone on with anti-doping. And, you know, we'll see what, you know, obviously USADA has definitely changed UFC. I saw a stat the other day that 5% of the UFC roster right now is currently under some type of suspension with USADA. So it's a really interesting time in MMA. Of course, always fun and exciting times going on. By the way, as we're recording this podcast, the ratings for last Saturday's UFC event on FS1 have not been released. There's been a ratings delay with Nielsen due to some technical issues that they had there up in their offices. But I'll be tweeting out what those ratings are. We're having a story up on the MMAReport.com this week. So be sure to follow me on Twitter at Jason_Floyd. Also be sure to follow the MMA Report on Facebook and Twitter at the MMA Reporters. We're always putting fight bookings and various news up on our social media platforms. So that's going to wrap it up for this week's edition of the MMA Report podcast, which comes out every Wednesday on RadioInfluence.com.
This is an Ian Beckles Flavor in Your Ear quick fix on Radio Influence.
You know, even back in the day, you know, in locker rooms, crazy stuff happened. Or, you know, you'd see people joking around. I saw one time somebody go behind another person and push them down.
I would never push
you. Like,
you
know, things like I've seen, you know, some of my buddies go around grabbing each other on their schwants.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
I never understood that.
Yeah, like I had black friends and Caucasian friends and Italian friends and Egyptian, and everybody act different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of my Caucasian friends were grabbers, and I'm like, yeah, no. Yeah,
like junk slappers.
Yes,
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
Like I don't understand. Like, I mean, a pat on the ass. Yeah. Like I get that on the back, yeah. But
I have a one dilly quota, like mine, and I don't even want to hear about anybody else's. I don't want to be around it.
Yeah,
like, no.
But I just don't understand what the point of it is. to take them down.
Well,
I'm
not
flinch?
Sure if it hurts.
Girls don't do that. I don't go up and just flick girls in the boobs. No.
You're not like your president?
No, I don't grab him by the pee either.
He just grabs them. Mm-hmm. grabs them.
Nobody's ever tried to do that with me. Should I feel bad about it?
No.
Okay.
No, but that's not a sign of respect.
Okay.
To go and grab a girl
just making
in the
sure.
pee, there's only a few things could be less respectful. And you know what's great about your president? What's great about our president is when he looks me in my face and your face and he says, I respect women more than anybody.
Hmm.
The other day I heard him say, I'm least racist person in the world. Are you, Donald?
I'm not buying it.
No, and you respect women. He goes, I respect women more than anybody. He doesn't respect them more than me. I know he doesn't. He doesn't.
No. There couldn't be a more false statement.
Thank you. But
fake news, I say.
That's
fake news.
Anybody that says that, we should never believe them. How do you know you're the most at something? How do you know that?
I think when you have to say something and address it and call attention to it, then you're the exact opposite
of
it.
No doubt. No doubt.
Oh, I have the biggest whatever. Yeah. Oh, I'm the best at whatever. You're not. Well, then you're clearly terrible at it. And you're the smallest.
You can find Ian Beckles' Flavor in Your Ear on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.